reading from Jonah chapter 3, and I want us to read the first two verses of this chapter. Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Lord and Father, as we read your word and as we think upon it tonight, guide our minds to understand it. The things that you have done are marvelous to consider. The things that you have done are beyond what we normally would think of as the limits of the natural world in which we live. You are not bound by any limitation. And Father, as we look at what you do, help us to marvel not only at what you have done, but why you have done it. And then, Father, to find that application in our life and in our church congregation life together tonight. Help, I pray, that I, as your spokesman, might be able to speak clearly, might be able to teach what you would have taught, and that you through the Holy Spirit, would apply it to each of us. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Now we'll go back just a moment to remember briefly the things that brought us to where we were. You'll notice if you go back to Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, that the record begins that the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Go to Nineveh and cry against it. Jonah didn't particularly want to go to Nineveh. We saw that his heart was already hardened against going because he saw them as an adversary, as a threat to Israel, and he didn't want to do anything that might spare them. Well, if God's going to go ahead and wipe them out, go ahead. That's one enemy we won't have to worry about. But that wasn't the way God looked at it. Jonah rebelled against God's instruction and went and got on a ship. Jonah's rebellion against God's commandment brought about, first of all, a great deal of danger and harm, fear and injury to a whole shipload of sailors who really had nothing to do with Jonah's rebellion. Because God sent a storm, a great storm, and threatened the very security and safety of the ship. I'm reminded in that our sin and sinfulness, our disobedience against God, is not, well, it's my life, I can do what I want to, it doesn't affect anybody else. Sin has consequences, and often the consequences of our sin far exceeds the boundaries of our own life. These men were very fearful. Finally, Jonah told them what they needed to do. And Jonah was thrown overboard. And in the end of chapter 1, we're told that God had prepared the great fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah's rebellion landed him in what he, by his own words, defined as being the belly of hell. Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Sin takes us places that we never anticipate. And we often walk through a hellacious path here on earth. By God's grace, if we are indeed his child, the eternal fires of hell are one thing we will be spared. But even the paths of our rebellion here in this world can be a hell for us if we walk in disobedience. But God heard him, and God caused the fish to spit him out. Now, this brings us back to our text. Jonah had got out in the middle of the sea, was thrown overboard. When he was spit out, he was back at land, and God gives him a new set of directions. But guess what? They're the same set of directions that God gave him the first time. God doesn't change his plan and commandments simply because we find them distasteful. Now, he chastens us in our disobedience. He redirects us through our disobedience and our affliction. But when we get back to the place where we ought to be, the commandments are still the same. God's plan, God's command, is an unchanging standard. And he said, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. And he said, arise, go unto Nineveh, the great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Preach unto it. If you'll notice in the handout that I have given you, that the word preach is translated from a word korah. It means, it carries with it the idea of almost accosting someone, of confronting someone. And it's not an offer, it's as if it were a personal confrontation directing a message specifically to someone. He was to preach to the city. He wasn't to preach to the mayor of the city. He wasn't to preach to the preachers of the city. His message was to the entirety of the city. He was to, as it were, confront by proclaiming to them the message of the Lord. The reason he was sent was because their wickedness had come up before the Lord. He was to preach to the people. He was to preach to the city. He was to call them out, to confront them. But he was to preach the preaching that God had given unto him. Preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Brothers and sisters, this is one of the lessons that comes in to me for us as the church. It comes to me personally as a minister of the gospel. When I'm called of the Lord as a minister of the gospel to preach, the source of my preaching is to be the preaching, the thing declared, the thing proclaimed that God would have me to preach. It's not up to me to decide, I like this, I like that, I think this needs to be preached. It is that God said, you preach what I give you to preach. Preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Now, the thing that strikes me, if you go back and you look at in a modern English translation that I read from time to time, is the English Standard Version, the ESV. It's a very sound, basic, modern English translation. But I found in reading the ESV, they basically duplicate the words of the first two verses of the first chapter. It came a second time, and they recounted basically the same thing. But now, is there a discrepancy? No. What God called Jonah to do the first time was to go to Nineveh and preach the preaching that I bid thee. You see, there is no change in what God calls us to do. God's call to us does not change. And I got to thinking about God's unchanging plan. One of the best known illustrations in the Bible is that of Moses. You remember Moses was out in the backside of the wilderness. He'd been out there now for 40 years. He'd been a shepherd for his father-in-law. He was married to one of the young women that he met when he went over there. He had children by now, and he was taking care of his father-in-law's flock. And as he was on the backside of the wilderness, one day he sees this bush that burned and was not consumed. And he turned aside to see what it was, and there he meets the Lord at the burning bush. Moses, I got a job for you to do. You're going to go down to Egypt, and you're going to go to Pharaoh. And you're going to tell him to let my people go. Who, me? I'm a stutterer. I can't do something like that. I can't speak very well. You need to let somebody else go. You see, while Moses didn't physically take transportation and leave the scene, he was running away from what God had called him to do. And God met every argument. And God even provided him a mouthpiece. God said, okay, Aaron's your brother. He's going to, when you go down there, he's going to come out to me. He'll be your spokesman. And when they went in together before Pharaoh, God told Moses, and Moses told Aaron, and Aaron told Pharaoh. But you know what? Even by adding a spokesman to satisfy and pacify Moses, God didn't change what he intended to have done. Moses still wound up before Pharaoh. And he went in before Pharaoh to proclaim to him the preaching that God bid him to preach. And it was, let my people go. And I began to think about the call of God. God called Moses. God called Jonah. God calls us. The call of God doesn't change either in the call of regeneration as He quickens us from death to life, or what He calls us to do in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call in salvation, our call in our own personal following of Christ doesn't change. I've heard people say, oh, I felt like God called me when I was a young man and I ran for 20 years. Well, guess what? When they finally came, as the prodigal son came to their senses and went back to the father and quit running, the call to them was the same. It was based upon God calling them by His grace from death to life, and calling through the gospel message that said, take up your cross and follow me. God's call to us doesn't change. It doesn't change from generation to generation. It doesn't change from male to female. It doesn't change from culture to culture. God calls His people. For whom the Lord foreknew, He did predestinate, and who He predestinated them, He also called. And God's call to us in His delivering grace doesn't change. He may call me at one time in my life. He may call you at a younger time in life or at an older time in life. He may call me at one part of the country and you in another part of the country. But what He's doing is an unchanging plan. And it doesn't depend upon your preference or upon my preference, but it stands upon His wisdom and the certainty of the work of His Son, God's call of salvation doesn't change. God's call to the church, His body in the earth, to His ministers, and through them to the church as they're to carry a plan and purpose, God's call doesn't change. His call of salvation, His call of the message that is to be taken, doesn't change. You go to Nineveh, Jonah, that great city. You're going to a great city. He wasn't going to some podunk place down the side of the road somewhere where it didn't matter. He was going to a great city. He was going into a visible place. He wasn't hidden. It wasn't going to be hidden. It was to be heard. You go to that great city and you preach the preaching that I bid thee. Why did he go? Same reason we're to go. This is the passage of Scripture found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. It was given to the disciples. It was given to those who would become His apostles. And they physically did that. But you'll notice that as they did that, they also taught other men. Paul specifically said that he taught Timothy, who was his son in the ministry, and he passed on to Timothy, and the things that Paul passed on to Timothy, Timothy was to pass on to other faithful men. And the call of the message was, you go preach. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. You go and you teach them the things that I have commanded you. Isn't that the same thing he said to Jonah? You preach the preaching that I bid you to preach. You see, God's call for us is to go into the city, go into the location where we are, go into the culture where we are. That has not changed. It is not about, well, this is our church and we like it this way. God's call for the church is to have an outward-looking view. You go into the city and preach the message that I command you. And it's also given. The call of salvation doesn't change. The call of the message doesn't change. But God's plan in that message doesn't change either. It is to bring men whom He calls by His grace to repentance. You see, when Jonah went to preach, the city repented. We'll talk some more about that later.
But Jonah didn't go down there just making a pretty sounding speech and turned around and left. When he brought the message was, your wickedness has come up before God. God knows what you've been doing. And you see, the message that we're to take is that God sees what we do and we are accountable before Him. The city repented. Now, I'm going to tell you, Jonah getting swallowed by a fish is a miraculous thing. Jonah being spit out by that fish at just the right place to journey and go preach was another miracle. But you want to know what the biggest miracle of all of the four chapters of Jonah are? To my mind? The biggest miracle of the whole four chapters of the book of Jonah is that the city of Nineveh, the Assyrian capital, a capital of a people who were known to be a belligerent people, a warlike people, a destructive people. And yet that entire city fell in sackcloth and ashes in repentance before God. Jonah later said, I knew that what was going to happen. That's why I didn't want to go. Now, I bring that up. It's over in the fourth chapter. But the point I want you to see is that was God's plan all along. God called a man. God called him to do something. But it was done in order to bring about the repentance of the city of Nineveh. You see, folks, the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ is to call men to repentance. And to expect there to be that repentance under the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. There was a time when Jeremiah called them to repent. And they said, oh, that sounds pretty, but they didn't repent. That happens sometimes. But here was a people who had never had the gospel preached to them. They hadn't had the prophecies. Here was a people whose wickedness was the only thing that came up before God. And yet the preaching of the gospel brought that entire city to repentance. Notice with me four passages of Scripture, please. Acts chapter 5. Verses 30 and 31. Well, let me begin reading in verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, this is when they had been arrested for preaching and they had been put on trial. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. They had been forbidden to preach. God said, preach the preaching that I bid thee. The government said, don't you talk about Jesus no more. We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him, Jesus, hath God exalted with His right hand to be a Prince and a Savior. And look at this. For to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. God raised up Jesus Christ to be exalted as a Savior to give repentance. He didn't offer repentance. He came to give the effect of repentance. Now notice the next one. Acts chapter 11, verses 17 and 18. For as much then as God gave them the light gift, as He did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, What was I that I could withstand God? Here's Peter, who had preached to Cornelius. And God's Spirit had worked in Cornelius' household. And this is Peter talking about what had gone on. Who was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles. Now in Acts chapter 5, he gave repentance to Israel. Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. You see, it was true in the nation of Israel. It was true in the Gentiles. Acts 26, verses 19 and 20. Paul is now on trial before King Agrippa. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Not only are men called to repentance, not only was Jerusalem called, not only was Judah called, the Gentiles were called to do works meet for repentance. Well, that's the same thing that John the Baptist told the Pharisees when they came to where he was baptizing. Bring forth fruits meet for repentance. You see, God's plan was to bring His people to a change in their life. That plan has not changed. Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same thing. Be careful. How many times have you ever heard somebody say, oh, when you point one finger at somebody else, you've got three more pointing back at you. Be careful, thou that judgest, because when you judge somebody else, you're guilty of doing the same thing. We're all guilty. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such thing. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? You see, God calls us to repentance. He called the Jews to repentance. He calls the Gentiles to repentance. But it is His goodness and graciousness that leads us to that place. That was His plan when He sent Jonah with the message. That city didn't repent accidentally. And that city didn't repent without the goodness of God. And that city didn't repent without the forgiving work of Jesus Christ later on the cross. Well, they might have done this later. We're not told that, but the fact of the matter is they repented that day. And you see, it is the goodness of God which leads to repentance. God's plan hasn't changed. When we preach the grace of God, when we preach the message of Jesus Christ, when we preach the preaching that we're bidden to preach, we're to preach all things. You go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them all to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. and it is to bring about a change in the lives of God's people. No man comes unto me, Jesus said, except my Father which is in heaven draw him. But he draws us to be different. He draws us to be changed. He draws us to repent. Folks, God's plan hasn't changed. God's plan for Moses was to go and make the declaration and let God work the results. God's plan for Jonah was go and preach the preaching and let God work the results. His plan for the church today is that we go. Arise and go. We make the effort. Preach the preaching and look to God for the results. I want to encourage you as you pray for Riverside Church and for our ministry and for our work that God has given us to do, that you would remember those words of Jonah 3, verses 1 and 2. And you can change the name of the city from Nineveh to Jacksonville. Arise and go to Jacksonville, that great city, and preach the preaching that I bid thee do. It was for Moses. It was for Joshua. It was for Moses. It was for Jonah. And it is for us. May we be faithful to do God's command and not be found running from it. Lord, help us to be a people who does what you call us to do. Help us to know that you have a plan for all that you put in place, and that we go in confidence knowing that your plan will be worked. Thank you, Father, for that assurance. We ask it for Christ's sake. And amen.